This is Hearts of Oak podcast. Free speech, religious disagreement, children's rights, and open and free discussion on any topic are bedrock to a democratic free society, and we seek to promote and champion these basic rights. Join us. Let's keep the conversation going.
It's wonderful to have Mr. David Vance at David Vance. David, tell us about your premium podcasts before we jump in.
What a really top question that is. And you're not going to top that one tonight. That's your best question. So I'll tell you all it is, Peter. It's really simple. We just celebrated, last week, we celebrated our 500,000 download on the standard little podcast channel that we have. So we got and that was quite nice because it was within a year of us starting it. And as you know, in my kind of crazy eccentric way, I started doing these little sort of 5 to 10 minute little podcasts on particular topics. And it's worked out real well. I'm happy about that. But in addition to that, what we're now doing is yes, David, I have a new podcast channel. ever the opportunist. What we decided to do was, and we're launching it this Sunday, it goes live on Sunday, a 30-minute longer form podcast, which gives me more of a chance, Peter, to delve into what's happened in the week. Because it's quite fun. Well, as we're doing now, it's quite fun looking back over the week. Yeah. And, you know, you do the story in the moment, and then a week on, you look at it and you think, And so that's really what it is. So it's a brand new platform. The links are below in all of my stuff. You'll be able to find it. And, you know, it's just giving the people more if they want more. I don't know how much is more it, they can take, but nonetheless, they're being given it.
Is it through Podbean?
Through Podbean. It is through Podbean. Yeah. My pals on Podbean. So far, my pals on Podbean, where they do allow free speech, Peter, you know. And so I can talk about whatever the heck I want. And it seems to work out pretty well, just like on some of the free speech platforms this is being broadcast on. But so we've got a new podcast channel. And I'd like everybody to please go and just click and follow it and see if you enjoy the longer form stuff as well as the short little snappy stuff. You know, sometimes a little 2-minute song is good. Sometimes an opera is better. So this is the operatic version of the 2-minute pop song.
What 7 minutes with David Vance when you can have half an hour? So you absolutely jump in. Let's jump on and start with our good friend COVID. Mm. So here we have the Daily Mail giving us their news, and it's awesome. COVID booster vaccines should be given to all over 65s, care home residents and staff, frontline NHS workers, and vulnerable younger adults, number 10s. Jab advisors say it. It's a weird jab advisor, not a vaccine advisor. It's very weird jab advisor, isn't it?
Jab advisor, that's an interesting job description. I wonder what the conditions for that job might be. Do you have a psychopathic desire to inoculate half the country with toxic poison experimental gene therapies? I wonder, is that what the criteria for the job is? But yeah, so everyone's going to be a lot of people are going to be offered their second booster in the autumn, because of course we've got a deadly surge, as you know, underway at the moment, otherwise known as the summer cold, the sniffles. And this is the sort of stuff, you said it's news. It's not really news, this, is it? This is propaganda pumped out by the appalling Daily Mail. That's what this is. And it caught my eye because it's like, you know, you just keep wanting to, you know, whatever the, doesn't matter what the problem is, Peter, the solution's always the same. Take a jab. It's not going to hurt unless it kills you. It's not going to hurt at all. And so, yeah, that's that story. Appalling from the Daily Mail.
It's true. It depends how you die. I mean, normally it's quite painful, these things. But it means that millions of Britons will now have a fifth vaccine. A fifth vaccine. I mean, in what other type of supposed disease or illness in 2 years do you have five jabs? I mean, you go for some things and you get a booster after a short length of time, but five of them in 2 years, you'd think that something isn't really working according to, I don't know how they expect it.
Yeah, well, of course, it doesn't work. The reason why, it's obvious to any critical thinker that these jabs have been an absolute failure. They don't work. They do not give protection. They do not stop transmission. They do not stop you ending up in hospital or indeed dying. They do cause vaccine side effects, adverse reactions and all that. So who would be crazy enough to think, yeah, I think I need a fifth one of that. I love playing Russian roulette. I think I'm going to spin the wheel once more this autumn, see what I get. You know, maybe it'll be a Justin Bieber kind of facial paralysis. Maybe it'll just be a bit of myocarditis. Let's just play it and play the game, see what happens. Insane, you know. But hey, I'm not a doctor, but I am a critical thinker. And, you know, yeah, you shouldn't be taking these things, I believe, at any rate.
Oh, completely. I'm happy to wait until the 10-year testing is done, and then maybe I can consider it. But that's a long way off. But let's move on to another of your favorite topics, David. I don't know if it is, but it's gardening. So let's bring this up and let's scroll down. And what's the headline on this is urgent warning to gardeners as soil increases risk of killer heart disease. I mean, is this a serious headline?
Well, good question. It's in the press, so it must be true. But there you see, look, there's an image of a lady risking life and limb by what, weeding? I mean, as we talk, Peter, I'm sitting looking out here just the other side. I see my different shrub beds and stuff. And I never realized until I read this very important article that I was fundamentally dicing with death going out to, you know, put a new plant in or to trim a shrub or something. That's lethal because, of course, it's another one of these things that can result in this strange new phenomena of sudden adult death syndrome, you see? Yep. So you can just suddenly die, drop dead because you're gardening or actually just for any reason at all. It's a new thing. And I follow the science. I fully believe it. So I'm afraid I'm going to have to get the gardener. I'm going to have to get a gardener. It's the only way. Maybe a Ukrainian gardener might come my way. And they can risk life and limb doing their beds because it's too dangerous for me. I've retired having read this important news article.
Well, it says the results of the analysis pushed experts to recommend that people wear a face mask if they are in close contact with the soil. And experts at a German medical facility said pollution of air, water and soil is responsible for at least 9 million deaths each year. I don't know if they're saying in the UK 9 million have died because they've been in their garden.
Well, I mean, you can make this stuff up. I mean, honestly, I see this stuff with my eyes bulging. I'm thinking, I can't believe somebody actually published that. But they did. This was published, as you can tell, Peter, in, you know, the Sun newspaper, which admittedly is a rag, but then they all are. They're all rags. Yes, there's a bit of theoretical research, but I'm not sure what the research is. How did they go around doing autopsies on dead gardeners to see, well, what caused the death? They fell into the soil? I don't know. This is insane stuff, but we live in clown world. So I think I subtitled mine clown world. It's another example of clown world, basically.
It could have been, David, that they monitored 1,000 gardeners cutting their grass and found out that X number died from grass, and they found out that wearing a mask was I wonder how long the research was to actually extrapolate and find out 9 million might die from cutting the grass or sniffing. Maybe people sniff soil all day, and then how many died?
Yeah, well, you see, in this post-COVID world where we have such an enlightenment, these are the things that we need to look out for. So everyone, look out for soil, because it's dangerous. And as Peter just pointed out there, maybe as these Germans suggested, you wear a mask when you're gardening. I don't know. No, here's a better idea. You lock up whoever conceived of this, lock them up and throw away the key and never, ever listen to them again. That's the best advice I could give anybody.
And please, can I recommend our viewers, you don't snort soil. So it could be dangerous. Yeah. So
See, it's already started. Even the thought of it has got you. You're wobbling. Put a mask on, for goodness sake, now. Or if not, when this is over, and stay safe.
David, are you going to, I hope I we're going to see a picture of you wearing a mask when you're out with your lawnmower cutting your grass. Yeah. Please do.
Yeah, that'll be the just the day after hell freezes over, you catch me in a mask. No masks, ever.
Maybe old gardeners will need that fourth jab because they're vulnerable. Who knows?
Right.
So what is next? Here we have, again, a really weird story. So NHS shake-up underway as 42 integrated care systems launch around the UK. But if we scroll down, and this is blood pressure checks in betting shops and diabetes support at sports clubs are among new schemes in parts of England to catch health problems before people become seriously ill. Now, I understand having heart issues if you're in a betting shop and you're losing money, but tell us about this, David.
Well, you see, this is why, you know, this is why we have to clap for the NHS. It's really on top of the big issues. And as this story points out, you've got to be installing, you know, you've got to be checking your blood pressure pretty much everywhere you go, actually, almost as if there's been something happen in the last year and a half that could impact into your blood pressure and potentially heart illness and sudden death, as we've talked about. So, yeah, it looks like they're going to be installing these devices, Peter, in gambling shop. But I mean, theoretically, I suppose the logic would be it could be anywhere, couldn't it? Any shop, every shop's going to have a cardiac resuscitation center for reasons for which people like you and me, I mean, we're not the experts in this. I listen to the experts, and the experts have made it clear this is a real issue. And for some reason, cardiac disease and sudden cardiac arrest may be a problem. So, hey, listen, let's take some of the billions the NHS gets and waste them in this way, in this new and exciting way of wasting our taxes. Certainly excites me.
It kind of makes me, they've talked about continuous monitoring in a lot of other stories, whether that's actually in the vaccine. I don't know where that's or whether that's in a chip, but I guess that's the next step, that if we're all having heart attacks, then of course we need to be continually monitored by some central government department somewhere.
Oh, no, they would never think like that. No, 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 no. It's all completely innocent, super duper innocent, and only the most jaded cynic would think that this is all part of the cabalist's attempt to control us, where we go, what we do, what we see, everything, the emotions we feel. They would never do. They would never do. People like Mr. Bill Gates and all, they would never do stuff like that because they're genuine philanthropists. Certainly not eugenicists. Definitely not that. So, yeah, I'm completely with them.
Let me jump on and have a look at all the comments on the side. There are 800 of you on Getter. And we have Malibites. I'll just give a few of them because I've spent forever trying to pronounce your names. Malibites, great to see David on here. Stu Frost and defibrillators at garden centers.
Yep.
We have Republican Rocker, we have X Julie, we have Biotech Babe, there you go. He's always good to see you. Republican Rocker, has everyone lost their minds? Well, that seems to be what's happened over the last 2 years. Yep. Biotech Babe, health Nazis. Trumpist Girl says they are setting a narrative. There are lots. Thank you for dropping. We'll go down your comments and try and pull some in, but it's always good to see your engagement.
These are my people. I recognize your names. This is the army that we are developing, Peter. You see, we see through all this here, you know. Yeah. And what we do is we laugh. I think there's two ways you can take this. You can be angry about it, or you can laugh at them, mock them, deride them. That's my approach, mostly. Sometimes I get angry, but most of the time it's better to mock them and laugh at them. So as Stu Frost just said there, yeah, a defibrillator in every garden center. Mm. And the age demographic that goes to garden centers, that would be the probably plus 60 plus age group. Wonder why you might want to have a defrib on hand when they're getting their geraniums. I don't know what that's. Not feeling too good. Quick, get another vaccine. Makes sense.
Exactly. Nanny Annie says, evening, Peter and David, on DLive, just to show you there are other platforms. So however you're watching, great to have you with us. And here we have a viral wave. Just those two words are enough to get your heart beating, or hopefully not too much.
You might need to.
Dude, all you need is a Sun headline to get your heart. You don't need a defibrillator. You just need to read the story. COVID cases close to 300,000 a day and heading for highest ever levels, experts warn. The Zoe COVID app. What the hell is the Zoe COVID app? Estimates there are now 285,507. That's a very accurate estimate. Yeah. New cases per day up 27% in the week and approaching April's peak of 350,000. So, David, we're going to beat April's peak. That's good news, isn't it?
Well, you know, it just proves to me that, you know, summertime is obviously very deep. I mean, there's a song that goes, summertime and the living is easy. But
are you going to sing it?
Not tonight. Only all I've got is coffee. Now, if that was wine, we might get a song, right? But I'm not sure if the listeners are quite ready for that. But this summertime, no, we have to be afraid. Be afraid. This is pure psyop. Well, that's all this one is. So they're pretending that there's 300,000 of COVID. And as I've pointed out in a podcast I put out in the last day or two, it's all fantasy. What they're doing is they are weaponizing the summer cold, the summer sniffles, and then the unfortunate people who have bought into the whole COVID thing. I mean, they're testing themselves, Peter, morning, noon and night. So if you keep testing yourself with test mechanisms which are inappropriate and don't even work, well, guess what? You're going to get positive tests. So that's the first thing. But the other thing about this is the figure is disingenuous, because it turns out that they're talking about, oh, hospitals could be overwhelmed, you see. They talk about that. And then they let slip the fact that 60% of people in hospital with COVID, guess what, Peter? They didn't go into hospital with COVID. No. They went into hospital for whatever reasons people go into hospitals. And because everyone going into a British NHS hospital has to be tested, again, they're using the old fakery regarding the testing to boost the numbers. So 60% of people in hospital with COVID didn't get COVID until they were tested. And of the other 40%, interestingly, I'm wondering, they're in hospital, we're told in this article, you know, and it's pretty bad. Well, what's pretty bad? They've got Omicron, which is, if you believe in it, which I don't, by the way, but those who believe in Omicron, they've got the mildest version of COVID there's ever been, which in South Africa they suggested is not, it does not require hospitalization, doesn't need you going to your doctor, just stay in for a day or two and you'll feel fine. And yet the same Omicron in Britain, it's flattening people. Maybe, you know, in the garden centres, they're being suddenly overcome by this deadly Omicron BA.4, BA.5. Again, all made up, all psyops. So it's all about fear. And this is all about, it's a serious point. The government knows that in the Northern Hemisphere, in the summer, respiratory viruses more or less vanish. You know, there's very little of it about. And yet they're pretending. As you said at the very your introduction, Peter, this could be the biggest wave yet. And honestly, if you believe this, I've got a bridge in the desert I want to sell you. It's just total propaganda. And it's the problem. That, I mean, I read the mainstream press, so you don't have to. You read stories like this. And unfortunately, the reality is that millions of people will read this and probably go, yeah, God, that's bad. That's bad. I can't wait to get my autumn booster.
David, it's a myth. You read the headline and it's fear, fear, fear. And then you scroll down and the fear continues. It's already overtaken previous records in Scotland. So sorry, Scotland, you're goners.
Yeah, they're gone. Yeah.
Yeah. So, but then it says the good news is that the symptoms are still mild with fewer deaths than in earlier waves. To me, that would be a good headline to go with. But that's buried in the middle of the article.
Now you'd be sacked, because that doesn't. That's a feel good headline. That's not a scary headline. So, but here's the thing: who is dying off the summer cold? I'm challenging everything that they're saying. So they're saying, oh, only 40% maybe have got it. And okay, of that 40%, only a smaller number are dying. But how do you, who's ever died of a mild summer cold?
Yeah.
I would suggest no one. You could die of other things, I'm not saying, and have the cold. But the cold is not reason for death. It's garbage. Absolute psyop garbage.
Completely. Can I just also just mention my wonderful producer who'll be off screen, my wonderful older son, who's doing a fantastic job and preparing me for something next week, which we haven't announced, because always good to make sure something is in the bag before you announce, but that should be happening at 6 p.m. on Monday, but we'll not mention that. Let's go over to Hollywood. Marvel is debuting a gay Spider-Man. I thought I'd read something with this, but no, this is new. And here we have the gay but if you scroll further down, and we'll read this. So here we have this month's explosion of Pride Month superhero comics. I missed that. May be winding down, but there's still some nice queer news on the horizon for one of our favorite long underwear characters, Marvel Comics universe hopping Edge of Spider-Verse, yep, which hits stores in September, will feature three metaverse characters, versions of Spider-Man, including the beloved character's first gay incarnation known as Web Weaver. I mean, that is going to strike fear into every evil superhero, isn't it, David?
Yeah, take that, Dr. Octopus. Spider-Man's fully LGBTQ plus. Kapow, that's going to really knock them out, isn't it? And actually, by the way, look at the image, by the way, off the images you got on the screen. Yeah, so is that what gay means? Is it with your hand on your hips? It sounds a bit homophobic, that. I mean, just me saying that. But yeah, Spider-Man's gone gay, but it's okay because there is a plethora of these superheroes. Now, you see, I've got a vested interest in this because when I was young, a long, long time ago, I was a huge fan of the Marvel superheroes that came along in the 1960s. The Spider-Mans, the Captain Americas, the Avengers, the Hulk, all those characters, great characters. Stan Lee was the creator, Jack Kirby the artist mostly. And they were all fine, and it was kind of like wholesome family entertainment. It was patriotic as well, I guess, because they defended America against evil space baddies, right? So it was all good fun and clean and all of that. Now look at what these freaks have done. Look at the state of it. They've got gay Spider-Man. They've got gay Supergirl. They've got gay Batwoman. They've got the best one of all. I'm not sure if you can find in that. There's a link to, they've got a trans mutant. They've got which I think is transphobic. How dare they suggest a trans person could be a mutant? But they've got a trans mutant as well. So this is the way in which the comic book industry has been completely hijacked by the activists in the LGBTQ plus community. And if you look at the absolute state of some of them, they're just as you would imagine in some of the memes that you would see. And they are polluting, in my opinion, young minds. The comic books tend to have a young age demographic. And why are they bringing this in? It's people say, look, I mean, honestly, you can't, I mean, I don't, yeah, what did I say?
And her genetically engineered turtle.
Is that a euphemism? A genetically engineered turtle? I'm not sure. But, I mean, the X-Men have really bloody well changed since the old days, I can tell you. But, this is the sort of trash that they... And, of course, the thing is, as Donald Trump rightly pointed out, everything woke turns to you-know-what. Yep. And the readership figures of this, through the floor, just like the viewing figures of the Marvel Cinematic Universe since about 2016 have been through the floor. Yeah. Because when you go woke and you do all this, it's a narrative setting, isn't it? When you do all this activist narrative setting, ordinary people just go, yeah. I mean, young kids want to read this, not for the LGBTQ. They want to read about superheroes fighting mm-hmm. super baddies. It's just that. It's basic. But that's not good enough. So, yeah, Spider-Man has gone gay. in 2022. What a world.
Moving on. It's beautiful to see the BBC bringing everything together. Yeah. Disabled and LGBT. Dad had to carry me up the stairs to the LGBT party. Yeah. And then if we scroll further down on it, we find, yep, so talks about going to university, many challenges, but it actually mentioned that there are lots of boxes this person ticked. They were a feminist and also a Christian, I think, in the middle of it. Cool. So there were all the, but it's, yeah, imagine your dad having to carry you up to the LGBT party. It's a heart-wrenching story, isn't it, David?
Oh, it moved me to tears. Tears of laughter. Now, look, I don't want to denigrate anyone for any physical incapacity, like being in a wheelchair or whatever. It's not funny, right? But this is funny because the headline, Dad had to carry me up the stairs to the LGBT. By the way, what happened to the Q+? I think BBC need to be challenged in this one. You know, I'm worried about the Q pluses as much as the LGBTs.
But is that a hate crime?
I think that's a hate crime. Yeah, I think it is because they're deliberately non-personing the Qs and the pluses, plus some of the other random letters that they throw in, you know. Here we have, yeah, another story. And actually, Peter, this is a symbolic of during the month of hi, Jim Johnson, by the way, I see you over there. During June, of course, June was Pride Month, and the BBC have been like absolutely all over it. I wonder why the BBC journalists might have such an interest in this. I can only speculate why that might be, but they've been running story after story after story, and this one was just struck me as being, well, they're trying to show that her dad's so progressive. He knows his daughter is I'm not sure which one of these characteristics, I presume L. Of course, I shouldn't even presume she's a woman, really, because that's also, hate crime. She could be a bloke if she says she is. But the dad's so progressive. He carried her up to the party. And then what, did he hang around? I mean, we don't know some of the details in this, but it's terribly progressive. And this is a reason why the BBC needs to be raised to the ground as an institution, not talking about physical crime. Just, it should be defunded. It should not be given our 3.8 billion or so a year to produce garbage like this to try and continually advance narrative. You know, it's supposed to be a news broadcaster. It's not. It's not been for a long, long time. But, I mean, stories like that, yeah, they do catch my eye because I'm thinking, what the, you know, there it goes.
Let me, there are one or two comments which were quite funny. Sorry. It is the blind patriot says LGBTQ, let's get Biden to quit. That's nice. I've suddenly become LGBTQ. I'm up for that.
We all are. Yeah. Everyone wants Brandon out. Yeah.
And there was another, what's the other comment? So many comments just disappear. So Round Bob, not very inclusive having the party upstairs, is it?
That's right. Good point.
Lots of other.
That's a hate crime. That's a very good point.
lots of other. I will be ignoring David if I go down all the comments. Let's move on to the Scouts. And I think David, you did a podcast on this today.
I did.
Well, so you're all ready for this. Let me read the headline. You can jump in because you know more about this disturbing story than I do. Scout Association faces backlash over new trans fun badge for members as young as four-year-olds, which have been slammed as inappropriate. So the Scout Association facing a backlash. Young Scouts were offered pride fun, bisexual fun, and lesbian fun badges. What four-year-old should be discussing lesbian fun? So, David, tell us more about this.
Well, yeah, if you scroll down, Peter, I think it actually has imagery of the, there you go. Yeah. that's what, there you go. You get your nice scouting badge with the fleur-de-lis in the middle of it against the rainbow flag, and then the scouting fleur-de-lis symbol against the trans. Because everyone has to have a flag. I'd have to design my own flag. I'm gonna be a breathing dragon. So what's happened here is the Scouting Association thinks it's really, really good to advance the LGBT plus agenda and including the trans agenda. And as you said, rightly observe, in the Scouts, people can join the sort of the from four on, they go into different levels of structure within Scouting Association. So essentially, 4-year-olds, 5-year-olds, 6-year-olds will be, and we'll see this, and they will be encouraged to maybe get these badges, and it shows their commitment to diversity. So let me tell you the serious point in this, what I think. This is grooming. I'm going to call it out for what it is. Yeah. Whoever is involved in this, it's grooming. It's grooming of children. Children, and this is, again, Peter, something I feel so strongly about. I believe in the innocence of childhood. And I know that makes me seem very old-fashioned, but I do. And I think the longer you can protect the innocence of childhood, the better. There's, you know, you join the Scouts to learn how to tie a knot. I was in the Scouts when I was young, to tie knots, although I'm never sure what the purpose of that is, actually, Peter. You know, it's a skill that I found pretty much pointless. But climbing trees, well, that's handy to avoid monkeypox and stuff. And other sort of sporting activities that Scouts get up to. Sexuality has nothing to do with it. And when I was involved, you know, there was nothing of this. So I think there are groomers, and I'm sorry, but that's the only word to describe them, at the higher echelons, or advising the Scouts and telling them, yes, let's make sure that the 4-year-olds, for the sake of diversity and inclusion, understand the LGBTQ plus agenda. No. And if you think like that, I want to see your hard drive, and I want to see you taken in for questioning, because I think the people who advance this have got very, very nasty agendas, and they should be taken right out of the Scouts. So it's sad, because there's nothing wrong with institutions to help young people. Healthy and appropriate, but this is none of that, you know. And honestly, again, kids as young as 4 being given an explanation about trans, are you kidding me? No, arrest the people who are involved in this. It's the only way. And of course, there's no will to do that, but it shows you how corrupt all institutions are becoming, Peter. And, you know, again, sad and serious point that they would, no one in this organization thought, hang on a second, maybe we need to take a time out in this one. They didn't think that. They said, yes, what a brilliant idea. Yeah, trans badge. 4-year-old, 5-year-old. Mummy, what's a trans?
Well, David, I think we're in this situation because of one of your getter posts. Not you personally, but you posting about Sam Brinton, who I hadn't come across before, as of June the 19th, I now serve my nation as Deputy Assistant Secretary for Spent Fuel Waste. I think they've been sniffing too much spent fuel, but in the Office of Nuclear Energy in the Department of Energy. So we scroll down and we see that, can we click on the picture and bring it up, Phil?
Not sure.
Let me see if we can. Yeah, there you go.
There he is. There's Sam.
Ah, beautiful, bold, and proud. Yep. And this person is in charge of nuclear waste in the US. David, this is obviously part of the US government.
Yep.
And you wonder why we are in the state we are. And I think that picture maybe sums up why we're in such a mess.
Yeah. Yeah, again, I mean, you know, they frankly, the Biden, the Brandon administration have the biggest amount of weirdos that you could find anywhere. So, I mean, here's Sam looking fetching in his pantsuit. And, of course, we've got that other absolute freak in charge of the Navy who also thinks he is a woman, but I think biologically he's a male. And this is the problem. You know, the Biden regime is setting up all these figures. Now, I mean, are these people role models? Probably not. I would imagine. I mean, I can't believe anyone would look to this person and think, yeah, that's what I want to be one day when I grow up. I can't believe anyone actually would think like that. But all the same, as you say, they have a responsibility for nuclear energy. disposal of such. So you would have thought there was some degree of responsibility here. But apparently the main thing is wear a pantsuit and look glam and just be proud in what you are. I'm sure we've got lots of American friends on, Peter, and this regime that you've got, this illegitimate potato regime in the White House and the people behind Biden, they're bringing in the worst of America, such a great country. Look at who you've got, that being one example. But I could give you, there's so many others. It's shocking. And then that feeds down. And that's as you say, Riley, Peter, it does kind of set the message. And so it's just, I'm sure the Chinese must be rolling in the aisles with laughter. I'm sure Putin sees this. And, he probably, his sides are splitting when he says, all right, this is the most powerful country in the world, is it? I don't think so. Not anymore.
Just Samuel Brinton is an American nuclear engineer and LGBTQ activist. Yeah. Yahoo Lifestyle, I'm just reading off Wikipedia, so it could all be nonsense. Yahoo Lifestyle noted that Brinton may be the first openly gender fluid person in federal government leadership. There's a collection of words. I think they probably try and mean something, but yeah.
Means weirdo. That's what that is. He's a weirdo. Oh, he's an expert, is he? He's an expert in pantsuits. Is that what it is? So this is, and if it's, as you rightly point, if it's in Wikipedia, it's all nonsense anyway, with extreme left-wing moderators. So, Peter, I'm the gentleman may well be qualified in nuclear waste disposal, but he's a gentleman. That's the point. But no, he's gender fluid. So I would suggest, and I'm not being harsh, maybe he has mental illness, in which case I don't know that we really want someone with mental illness in charge of nuclear. But hey, that's just me.
Let's move on to Halifax banking. I'm sure many people will have seen the many memes on this, but
yeah,
so. Just close my Halifax account. They can stick their pronouns up there. His, her, arse, I think. Bank suffers X of customers after social media managers told them to leave if they don't like staff sharing pronouns on badges. And if we scroll down, we can see the actual picture of that they put up of the person. There you go. There's the badge, Gemma. And Gemma is she, her, hers. I don't know hers. There's only one gem, I assume, but maybe there are many Gemmas. So Halifax obviously going down this route and people getting annoyed because they just want to put their money and take out their money and find an ATM which works and don't really want to be preached at.
No, but that's not good enough. They're going to have to be preached at, I'm afraid, because... For yes, again, woke activists have got involved. They've inveigled their way into this particular bank/building society, now a bank. And apparently staff can use, as you've shown there in the screen, Peter, their pronoun badges. And I'm with the person at the beginning telling them, well, you can stick your pronoun badge. There's no reason to have a pronoun badge. If I go into a bank, I'm pretty clear if I'm dealing with a male or a female. I don't need, and if I'm not, they really shouldn't be working in there in the first place. So there's that. And then the real killer bit here is, and it does make the point, that the social media manager, some millennial, some 20-something, I would suggest, who's running their social media account, he told the Halifax customers who weren't happy at this move, basically, well, if you don't like it, you can just leave. And furthermore, if you delve into the T's and C's of the Halifax, they've got this whole thing. I don't know if you saw it about hate crime. We're watching everything that you might say, and we will not stand for transphobia, LGBT plus hateful comments, blah, blah, blah. So, I mean, again, I can't believe senior management in the Halifax actually would have done this. I can't believe they've entrusted a third party millennial or a couple of them to conjure up this stuff to make them seem good and enlightened and woke. And I think it's backfired because they appear to have lost hundreds of customers, which is really good news. Andy, I think his name is, Peter. Andy, the social media manager. manager. I think he's actually been surreptitiously put in there by one of their competitors on the basis if he's gonna you know, get so many Halifax customers riled up, maybe they'll go to, I don't know, Santander or whichever, some of the other available options, and get themselves out of the pronoun-obsessed Halifax. How about you give people decent interest rates, Halifax, rather than giving people stupid pronoun badges? But hey.
They were, who was the character? Sorry, it mentions a story, but anyway, who was the character with the glasses?
What
was his name? Scroll down the bottom of the story on that. And you've got, with glasses, bald. Yes. Was it Harold? No. Come on, someone must know. Come on, someone. This is where your comments come in. Who can tell us on Getter?
Because he weighed in on the topic as well. And I think he suggests, well, I didn't agree with what he said, actually. Have we got him?
No, we don't. I know. I'm hoping that someone on Getter can tell us. Come on, he was the face of Halifax. And they're saying, what would he say? Was it Howard? No.
Howard. It is Howard.
Howard.
Bullseye, you win.
Howard. Scathy Fi, well done. You've won a hello from David and me. So there you go.
Hello. Yes. So, yeah, no. So Howard, he weighed in. He was the actor who played, he fronted them some years ago. And he was saying he thought it was a bit stupid and that they needed to concentrate on the imbalance in wage structure between men and women. Well, you see, that annoyed me as well, because it is illegal in this country to discriminate between anyone on the basis of their gender. You cannot pay a man more than a woman at a standard rate, all other things being equal, and that's normally the way it is. So I didn't agree with Howard, actually. He can shove it as well, actually, as far as I'm concerned. The Halifax is just a cluster, you know. I'm not going near the Halifax. It's a nightmare organization.
Jim Johnson says, I miss the days when men were just when men were just men, women were just women, and weirdos were just weirdos.
Yeah, me too, Jim. I don't know, whatever, what happened? Must have been something they put in the water, I think, that's done all this, because there's so many weirdos and they seem to be in high office, strangely.
But David, if you're a man and a woman, do you get paid the man's wage and the woman's wage? So you could get double for both personalities.
But you see, Peter, you say that as a joke. There will be people out there, probably, hopefully not watching this stream, but there may be people out there who are thinking that, yeah, I need to be getting such and such because if like that physicist guy, the nuclear waste guy, gender fluid. If you're gender fluid, well, what does that mean? Well, it means you're mentally unwell. That's what it means. But I mean, apart from that, should you get different wages for different days? I don't know. On the road, it's the road to Arkham Asylum, to borrow a phrase from Batman. Arkham Asylum. Lunatic.
We have five more, so let's try 3 minutes of story. I'll talk less, sorry. Here we have Pride. We haven't done much on Pride. Today was, of course, the Pride demo. I sadly missed it. Many pictures up, which I'll not bring you because they're disturbing. But Pride, stay at home if you have monkey pox symptoms. London's top health doctor is urging anyone with monkeypox symptoms not to attend Pride events this weekend. Talks about unusual rashes. If you've got itchy bum or can't poo, you could have monkeypox, so be careful. But actually, the line which stuck out with me just on this was the BBC saying most are in London, talking about the 1,000 confirmed monkeypox cases. Most are in London with men who have sex with men most affected. Well, maybe if that didn't happen, then you wouldn't get monkeypox. So, problem fixed.
Well, that is the obvious thing to say. If this particular alleged infection afflicts a particular tiny demographic, then if they refrain from doing the thing which causes it, we ain't got a problem. But they can't do that. They to be fair, they did come out, as you say, in that headline. They say, you know, stay away from Pride parades. Stay away from these group events, apparently, that they, you know. But I have to put a word of caution in, because I'm also, you see, I don't think there is such a thing as monkeypox, right? Because the virus has never been isolated. So it's a theoretical virus, like certain other ones. Theoretical virus. And I also, although they're trying to label the gay community, for once, I'll actually stand up for the gay community here and say, well, you know, like, for example, the whole AIDS thing and the whole HIV, I mean, you put that in them and there's big questions we know now in retrospect we're wrong. So I would be hesitant to necessarily say that this is just this is something caused within the gay community for certain activities. Although I also think, and given the rates of sexually transmitted diseases in this country, it would be very good to refrain from certain things anyway. But monkeypox, honestly, it's just another bit of fear. Fear porn, be scared. If it's not monkeypox, well, it's going to be, you know, the summer sniffles. You've got to be scared even at this time of the year. So, yeah.
Yeah, so I recommend don't go to Pride. And you're right. It could be happening less in the gay community and more in the jabbed community.
Could be. But no, that's not possible. No. The jab community, they're the super duper healthy people.
They are. They're the super intelligent ones and healthy ones.
Critical thinkers, yeah.
Let's touch on last week did a special just on really the Supreme Court. And David, I know you've done, I think you did one with Ilana, did you, looking at the abortion issue?
We did. We've got a rumble going over there at the moment, approaching 8,000 views on Roe v. Wade. And in particular, Ilana and I take different views on it, but it was an interesting thing. It's a huge topic for certainly for American friends anyway, definitely. And but what got me about this one was the BBC's ignorance. You know, look, as I pointed out, first of all, number one, the US Constitution is there to protect the people from the government, not the government from the people. There's your first point. And the second point in this one is when it comes to there's no constitutional right to abortion. Sorry, there's not. Yes, some activists in January 1973 on the Supreme Court decided that there was. And now that's been reversed and we're getting back to where we were. Individual states decide. What's wrong with that? Well, the BBC's not happy about it and they want to use again this notion of, the evil right-wing conservatives on the Supreme Court have taken away the right to the constitutional right to abortion. Sorry, no such right. Doesn't exist. Back down to the states. Hooray.
Exactly. Never was a constitutional right. No. Those who traveled and wrote the Constitution, the Founding Fathers, I'm sure never thought, actually, I'm sure killing babies should be in there somewhere. No, it wasn't anywhere near.
No.
Let's go on to UK politics, and I'll just wait the story comes on. This is from, and you couldn't make up the name, Chris Pincher has been going around pinching people. So Chris Pincher, MP, and this is a slight different take on it. He is seeking medical support after groping claim. So it wasn't his fault, David. It was the drink and the work and the pressure and everything else.
Yeah.
But and I'm just surprised that everyone isn't going around groping people because, but he's seeking medical help. Well done.
But it's like a carry-on movie, isn't it? Chris Pincher. I mean, we're being trolled. They are trolling us. Chris Pincher, the government deputy chief whip, was going around apparently pinching men's bottoms in a private club. So the whole thing, it's carry on, at that level. And then, as you say, yes, the new twist is, but he's the victim.
Yep.
He's the victim. Don't you dare blame him for what he's done. He's not responsible. He's getting medical help. And this is the same guy, by the way. There were issues. These are allegations. We have to be careful to say that. But you know, there were other things back in 2017 concerning this gentleman. He came back in. They didn't. Apparently, the Conservative Party felt it was very important not to disbar him from this role as Deputy Chief Whip, simply because of allegations. No, nothing had been proven. And and here we are with Mr. Pincher pinching allegedly people when he gets a few drinks in him down the Carlton Club. And that's the other thing, by the way. This didn't take place, Peter, you'll appreciate this, on the parliamentary estate.
I don't pinch people's bums.
I know that. But this took place in the Carlton Club in Piccadilly. That's private property. Therefore, this should be investigated by the Metropolitan Police, not just the authorities within the Palace of Westminster. Why is that not happening? Oh, yeah, because the Metropolitan Police are in special orders as an absolutely failed police service that should be disbanded forthwith.
Exactly. The whole thing is crazy, but I'm glad that he is seeking help. The next one is on the looking at the UK police. And I saw this a few places, and then obviously you've had it up on your Getter and Gab accounts.
Yeah.
Use whichever, follow David on whatever platform you like using. Let me just, bring up on the bottom there, at David Vance, altnewsmedia.net. I didn't bring that up at the beginning. I should have. David's on so often, I forget. But
it's fine.
At David Vance, look on Rumble for that video on the Supreme Court decision and on Get or Gab anywhere else. But this headline, record number of UK police forces are failing and need intensive help. Met Police in need of special measures for first time since founding in 1829 is not the only force where intervention is deemed necessary. Mm. And then here's this line actually was a headline elsewhere. A record 6 police forces are currently judged as failing so badly that they need special help as a furious political row erupted over placing Scotland Yard into special measures. So it seems that, the police aren't really doing their job.
Well, I mean, in the case of the Metropolitan Police, I mean, one of the clues was they employ murderers. So, I mean, that's never the best kind of sign that a police force is healthy, in my opinion. You'd kind of not expect to find the murderers amongst the ranks, but there you go. There, of course, we know that notorious case. But, this speaks to the chaos that our institutions are falling into, in this case, the police. And the fact that 6 of our police forces are deemed to be so dysfunctional, so failed, that they have to be put into this kind of special measures so many people are then looking in to see what can be done to fix it. Well, I'll tell you what can be done to fix it. And this is a point that Peter Hitchens made. To be fair to my old pal, Peter, Peter and I, who had a very public row on Twitter back in the day over Brexit, Peter argued in the Daily Mail that we need to fundamentally tear down the institutions, go back to what Sir Robert Peel put in place back in 1829, something that's completely community-based. None of the politicalization should be in it at all. Police bobbies on the ground dealing with the things that people want, which is the prevention of crime in the first instance. And if they can't prevent it, catch the baddies, bring them to justice and put them away. That's all we want. But instead, what are the police doing? Well, they're on social media checking in case someone hurts somebody's feelings with a mean tweet, or they're dressing up in LGBTQ plus outfits in rainbow cars, or they're on their knees to BLM. I'm afraid the British policing has failed, and deliberate, common purpose and all of that. They've got in, it's corroded. Peter's right, it needs not reformed, it needs melted down and going back to what Sir Robert Peel, I believe Peter put in place, it's the only way local bobbies, local responsibility, as best that can be done.
I just saw too, Mally Bite says, Mr. Pincher isn't as bad as Mr. Bendover. He is the one you don't want to meet in a bar. We'll not go there. And there was, Pem's headset. Does someone need medical help if they flash their ginger growler in the House of Commons? Well, there's a thought. I think we have these issues on both sides of the divide.
She was at the Pride Parade in London today. I saw the fragrant Angela Lena. She was there along with all the gazes down in London. But I mean, again, I'm not going to go into Angela Rayner's areas. I'm not going to.
No. Let's not discuss Angela Rayner. Finally, let's finish on Ukraine. So here we have, I'm glad that our government have the money and the ability to actually not only equip them, but here the BBC is telling us Ukrainian troops getting weapons training in UK. Mm-hmm. If we scroll down, So Britain has been training hundreds of Ukrainian troops with new weapons being provided by the UK for their fight with Russia. The training has been taking place over the last few weeks in southwest England. So there you go. You've had hundreds of Ukraine. You thought they were refugees, but no, they were troops. If anyone in southwest has had a Ukrainian stay with them, they'd be careful because they could be armed and dangerous. But David, it's wonderful we can find the time and the money to train another country's armed forces for free, I guess.
Well, that's because we want to fight Russia to the last dead Ukrainian. That's what we want to do, because NATO's not going to allow any of their troops to get into the battle. So the only people dying is Ukrainians. And it's appalling that the British government's involved in this, you know. And yet again, if I was Vladimir Putin and I read a headline like this, and I basically, the way I would read that, so the UK trains Ukrainians to kill Russians. I wonder what I might consider. I wonder what I might consider. You know, it's pathetic. Boris Johnson is more at home in Kiev than he is in Kensington, as far as I'm concerned. This is a guy, along with the rest of these charlatans, like, you know, Macron and Trudeau and all of these lot, who they're hated by their own people. So they posture, you know, on Ukraine and pivot on Ukraine at a time, Peter, when ordinary British people, and I'm sure a lot of families maybe listening to this, will have issues, you know, price of energy, rampant inflation, you know, potential employment issues, all of these things. The British government is splaffing billions to Ukraine. And I think it's disgusting, it's immoral, and it shows that the British government has no interest in the British people. And the sooner people waken up to that, the better.
I just saw, someone had sent in, I'm just looking, let me bring up, just to finish with, I guess it just happened when we were on, Beargate bombshell, Keir Starmer facing calls to resign after police hand him fine. And of course, he told us that if he was found guilty, he would be resigning. So I guess Labour will be looking for a new leader by the end of today, which could be quite good for Labour.
Can I be the first to congratulate Angela Rayner on her elevation to deputy leader of the... Hello, Angela. Well, he said it often enough. And I don't understand why he did, because he left himself wide open. So that's a new story, Peter. It's always great to break news. He said it. He's on record saying he would resign if he was handed a fine. She said she would also resign, by the way. So it'll be interesting to see if she's been fined as well, in which case the entire Labour leadership will be gone by Monday morning. I wonder, will that happen? Or do you think Sir Keir and Angela will find some way to explain why, whenever they said they would resign, that actually meant, well, no, we can't resign? What do you think?
I'm sure they'll find a way of words around it. There was also, someone just sent me a picture. Let me just share for the very last one. Let me bring up, can I share the picture? Give me a moment, David, and see if my skills are good enough on this. Here we go. They were in one of our moderator team. They were in McDonald's and they got a Happy Meal and they got Paddington Bear. But Paddington Bear is now in a dress. Oh. And they said this was part of course, trans or pride. So there you go. Paddington Bear has become...
Yeah.
What Paddington, can you do a female version? Anyway, it's Paddington Bear as a woman. So, yes, yeah, Miss Paddington Bear.
You know, but it's a little simple thing like that that does explain the degeneracy into which this country is sliding at the hands and at the behest of a tiny minority. Again, that's a bit like with the Halifax Building Society. You know, there's going to be one or two activists somewhere around the McDonald's empire, and they'll have said, here's a really good idea for Pride. Let's put in Paddington as a trans Paddington, you know. And, you know, I mean, it's only a matter of time, I would have thought, to Ronald McDonald becomes... I'm trying to think of the right name. I'm not quick enough to think of it, but, you know, they're going to have to change that because he's outrageously male. So, it's sad. It's you know, I'm sorry it's a harsh word, but it's how I feel. It's degeneracy.
Yeah. And on that, I think we will finish. Do go and make use of David's Getter or Gab. Do check out his Rumble account. And if you would like to get more of him, If the bite size isn't enough, then you can go and check out his premium podcast over on Podbean. So do go and make use of that.
Thank you.
And I think on that, as we've hit the 1 hour mark, I think we will finish off. We have a good weekend, all of you, whatever you're doing, however you're enjoying. If you're just back from Pride, I hope you've had a lovely day, and enjoy your Saturday. We'll see you on Monday with actually Paul Golding. So I'd actually held off from interviewing Paul Golding, but I thought if someone is registered with the Electoral Commission, well, why shouldn't we talk to them? So we'll see if we get any backlash. But I had a great conversation with Paul Golding 2 days ago. So he will be up on Monday at 8 p.m. And I also might be seeing you at 6 p.m. But we'll tell you about that as it is happening. So I think on that, have a wonderful evening. Have a good weekend. I will see you on Monday. So thank you and goodbye.
If you like what we do, sign up to our mailing list, donate, share, and subscribe to our many platforms at heartsofoak.org. Thank you for listening.